Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. It is great to be with you. Believe it or not, this day we are going to look at the readings for the first Sunday of Advent. You know, I hope this isn't catching you by surprise. I'll tell you, I've been thinking about it for a long time because I've been planning Advent parish missions. I've been planning shows like this. I've been getting ready to speak about my Find Peace in Advent book. So I've had Advent on the mind for a while. But whatever the case, here we are, first Sunday of Advent. We're going to look at the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent this week. Now, here's a tricky thing. There's only four Sundays in Advent, right? It goes fast. It goes much faster than Lent goes because it's less time. And also, there are a lot of distractions. We're busier, I would say, during the pre-Christmas season. We call it Advent, but you know, the world, and look, we live in the world, let's be honest. We have pre-Christmas preparations to take care of. These are good things. These are good things. We are celebrating the birth of the Lord. There's festivity, there's preparation involved, you know, families get together. It's good stuff, but we want to be careful that we don't lose sight of the real meaning of the season and that we don't, get so distracted that we don't make time to prepare spiritually for the Advent season. So we're going to try to do that here. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. We'll talk a little bit more after the prayer before we actually start the Mass readings. But right now, let me just let you know, you are welcome here. I hope you can settle in. I hope you can relax. I hope you'll be able to stay with me for the entire 30 minutes of the show. And let's get ready to pray. Let's place ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Let's remember that He is with us, that He loves us, that He's bigger than our problems, and that He wants to help us. He wants to help us to really grow closer to Him during this Advent season, and to better appreciate the fact that He sent His Son into the world, and that He wants to welcome us. He wants us to welcome Him into our lives more fully. So let's start with prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for being here with us. Father, we know that you are present here with us. We know that you love us. We know that you care about us. We know that you did create us out of nothing. We know that you want us to be in a relationship with you. We're grateful for the fact that you sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. And you know what, Father, it's going to get crazy now. In the next few weeks, we are going to be torn in a lot of different directions. And we really need your help. We need your help to focus on keeping our sights on what really matters. So we pray, Father, that with the help of your grace, we will be able to better prepare to welcome Jesus on Christmas Day. That means we're going to have to spend some time cleaning up and getting ready for him. And that's what we're going to try to do, Father. But we definitely need your help. We pray for all those people who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for our family members, for our friends. We pray for those who have left the church, maybe those who don't even know it's possible, Father, to have a relationship with you. We pray for our country. We pray for those around the world who are struggling. We pray for all those who are in need. And we pray that with your help, all of us can have a very good Advent, one which really draws us closer to you, and closer to your Son as well. So, Father, I ask you today, please give me the words. Give me the words that I'm supposed to deliver, and please open up all of our hearts so that we can not only hear those words that you want us to hear, but that we can put them into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things as we always do in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Thank you for joining me on the program. So, I told you at the beginning, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent. And as we get started, I want to let you know, we're still early in the Advent season. It's going to go quick, but we're still early. You've heard me speak of my book, Find Peace in Advent, Four Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. If you'd like to pick up a copy of it now, it is not too late. I recommend you go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can buy it at any online bookseller. It's available all over the place, but it might be easiest for you to go to my website, followingthetruth.com. And pick up a copy of the book. It's a daily devotional, so we can go through it each day of the Advent season. And I say we, meaning that even though I don't do a podcast every day, you've got me in the book doing a reflection, sending, giving you a scripture verse, giving you some, we do some praying together, all in the book. Very, very, I would say very easy to use, very practical. I wrote it so that it only takes about 5 minutes a day. So I don't want it to be burdensome because I know we're busy. I know that, and I wanted to keep it simple. But I really do believe, as is stated on the back cover of the book, I believe that it is possible to find peace during one of the busiest and stress-filled times of the year. But the only way we're going to do that is if we stay in touch with the Lord. And that's what I try to do in the book. So Find Peace in Advent, 4 weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. You can go to followingthetruth.com to find out how to pick it up. I also want to let you know that if you don't aren't able or not interested in purchasing the book, or you want something to supplement the book, you can go to followingthetruth.com and just sign up for my daily email reflection. It's free of charge. And each day in the book, in the reflection, I'm going to enhance or comment on the verse contained in the day in the daily reflection from the book. So it's sort of a supplement to the book. It's not really replacement, but I don't want to sit here and say you got to buy my book or we can't work together. No, we can, because I realize that's not always possible. So you can just sign up for the free daily reflections. I'd like you to buy the book. You'll get more out of it, but if you want something, you can either use the daily reflections without the book, or you can use them with the book. Okay? Followingthetruth.com. Just sign up for my daily email reflections. All you have to do is supply your email address and you will receive the reflections. There is no charge for them. Any questions, email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com, or you can contact me directly through the website, which is, you got it, followingthetruth.com. All right, so let's see what we got here. These readings are, they're good. They are not overly lengthy, so we're going to have no trouble getting them in throughout this, in the course of this, in the duration of this program. One thing I want to say is, we'll talk more about it when we read the readings, but each week there's a general theme that the church lays out for us. The first week of Advent, this is a get-ready theme. This is, okay, here we go. And again, we're going to talk more about it when we do the readings, but the church wants to make sure that we have a sense of urgency in our Advent preparation. Now, there's no guarantee we're going to get another one. You know, you've heard me say this before. I'm not trying to scare anybody. You know that, you know how it works, right? There's no guarantee. So let's treat this Advent season as if it was the only one we would ever have. And I think it might be a good idea for me to sort of set this up a little bit before I go into the reading, since we have a little time. In the introduction of Find Peace in Advent, I quote the Catechism of the Catholic Church with a description of the Advent season. Let me just read that to you now. It's quick. When the Church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation for the Savior's first coming, the faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming. By celebrating the precursor's birth and martyrdom, the church unites herself to his desire. He must increase, but I must decrease. So what we have here is the objective, and this is from, again, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 524, in which the church lays out the purpose of Advent, because, you know, it's confusing sometimes. You know, we think, and I've thought this, and I've spoken with others who have thought this, why am I preparing to welcome Jesus when he was already born 2,000 years ago? You know, during Lent, we get it. We know we're supposed to sacrifice, repent, give alms, and recognize that we have messed up, and we're trying to get our lives back on track during the Lenten season and help Jesus to carry his cross, essentially, you know. So Lent we get. Advent, it's a little mysterious. And I lay this out in the introduction of the book because this is something I've struggled with. And essentially, that's why I wrote the book, because I have struggled with this. I wondered, like, well, how am I supposed to prepare? Why am I supposed to prepare? You know, and technically, you read the words of the church, and we're preparing for the second coming of Christ, which is a good idea, because there is going to be a final judgment. The problem with that, and I say the problem with that, is not with the method the church chooses or the objective. It's good. It's perfect. The problem is most of us don't expect Jesus to come back anytime soon. You know, no matter how much we hear the message, we internally think, you know, it's almost a subconscious way of thinking, well, he hasn't come back for 2,000 years. It's probably going to be a long time. Well, honestly, we don't know that. We don't know. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. But there is a certain sense of, you know, complacency, if you want to call it that, or maybe a minimal expectation that Jesus really is going to come back soon. So how do we get excited? How do we prepare, as the church said, to prepare with the expectancy, the ancient expectancy of the Messiah, prepare like the people did who were expecting him the first time? You know, they really needed him. They really wanted to come, him to come quickly, and they were ready. How do we do that? How do we do that during the 4 weeks of Advent? Now, I make the point in the book, and this helps me. We don't know when the Lord's going to come again in glory. We don't know when we are going to meet him. We don't know when we're going to die, right? Because that's when we will be judged. And then when he comes again in glory, all of our the results of our judgment, if we die before the Lord comes again at the end of the world, we're not going to get judged again, but all of the judgments, whether we make it to heaven or go to hell or in purgatory, all of that's going to be made known. So it's not another judgment. It's we're going to get judged one time, either when we die or the second coming of Christ, whichever comes first. And then there's a revelation that goes along with that second coming. Then everybody's going to know where everybody is, if you want to put it that way. We don't expect the Lord to come anytime soon. Again, I'm not saying we should expect him to come. We should live our lives as if he's coming today. But we tend to fall into not expecting him to come again. We also, for the most part, unless we are very old or have some sort of a, you know, poor health condition or maybe a terminal illness, we probably don't expect to die anytime relatively soon. You know, those of us who are now senior citizens, we realize it's coming. I mean, I'm very aware of it, but I don't necessarily expect it today. I tried to live my life as if I'm going to die today, but, you know, we don't know. But I think a good short-term goal is to focus on Christmas, December 25th. We know that date. That date's written down. It's on the calendar. That's when we welcome Jesus, officially welcome him. Let's prepare to grow closer to him so that on that day, December the 25th, we're closer to him than we are now. That, I feel, is something we can all get excited about or get behind. You may not get excited about it, but you can. It gives us a sense of urgency. All right, I got till December 25th to prepare. I got to get busy. That's what we're going to try to do. Okay, so let's set that as our short-term goal. With that in mind, let's look at these readings for the first Sunday of Advent. We'll start, as we always do, with the gospel. Then we'll back up and look at the other readings which support the gospel. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 44. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake." Now, there's more to this gospel, but those three words, that's the message. that the church wants us to get as we begin Advent. Therefore, stay awake. He's coming. Back to the gospel. For you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Stay awake. Get ready. He's coming, right? Good message to get us focused. And that's really what we get started with in the Advent season. The church reminds us we are not going to be living on this earth forever. There is a judgment which follows our life on earth. Get ready. Let's get ready to meet Jesus. You know, it's just like when we're having company over. What do? You clean. The church asks us to clean up our house so that we can welcome Jesus. If there's no room for him, if we're cluttered with junk, if our house, internal house is cluttered with junk, there's no room for Jesus. We're sort of doing some cleanup work prior to his arrival. And this first week, we get the message that, hey, he's coming. You know, Jesus called ahead, or he texted us and said, I'm coming. I'm coming soon. December the 25th. I hope you're ready. And that's what we try to do. Okay, let's look at the first reading. Again, these readings are all going to support this get ready, stay awake message. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, what we see here is what sounds like a vision of heaven. People living in harmony, people giving up their swords and their plowshares and their spears. Their spears are now turned into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another. The coming of the kingdom is at hand. When Jesus comes into the world, he can rightfully say the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. So it's here with us now. The kingdom is here. Now, we don't live in the perfection of heaven. We live in a fallen, imperfect world. That's okay. The kingdom of God is still among us. And what we need to do, even though we're still going to have difficulties in this life, you know, this world is just not heaven. Original sin made this world what it is, kind of a mess sometimes. And as a result, you know, we have a fallen human nature, and we struggle as well. But that doesn't mean we can't do some things in order to help us to grow closer to the Lord and better resemble him and get better prepared for our final judgment. You know, if you do God's will, final judgment's not a big deal. But we all, to one extent or another, have that tendency at times, maybe not all the time, maybe it's at certain times, to do what we want. Sometimes sins of omission instead of necessarily sins of commission. Well, I don't do anything wrong. Yeah, but do you do anything right? Do you go out of your way to help those in need? You know, and I direct this at myself. I'm not accusing of you. Do I seek my comfort, my security in the Lord, or do I seek it in material things? Probably a combination. You know, we all need to address that. We need to look at that. That's what Advent is. Advent's a great opportunity. But also we see this hope. This first reading is filled with hope. When Jesus comes into the world, things are going to get better. Not externally, not always down here below, but all of a sudden, the gates of heaven are going to be open once Jesus is done with his ministry on earth. and we can live in heaven forever. You know, hope is always forward looking. Hope is not necessarily focused on the present. We hope for something that will happen. We hope that when Jesus comes into our life more fully, when we prepare for him during Advent, that we become closer to him. We hope, and that's not wishful thinking. That's a strong belief. That's what Christian hope is. We believe that our lives are going to get better. Life with Jesus is always better. Again, doesn't mean your problems go away. Doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. But what it means is you will have a greater sense of peace, because that's what happens when you walk with Jesus. So, hope. There's a lot of hope in this first reading. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 122, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord. And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city with compact unity. To all the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, in it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May peace be within your walls. Prosperity in your buildings. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pray for your good. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. See, no matter how things are going in our lives, we're always going to be dealing with certain things that might weigh us down. Could be as simple as bad weather, traffic problems, could be serious illness, could be loneliness, could be grief. Life with Jesus is always better than life without Jesus. And I think what we want to try to do during Advent is really tap into that expectation of the people who awaited the arrival of the Lord before he was born. The Messiah is coming. Things are going to be better. Now, they got it wrong in a lot of cases. They thought he was going to be an earthly ruler, and he was going to free them from the Roman oppression. It's not what he did. He came to establish a new kind of kingdom, one that they really didn't expect. But nonetheless, their belief was true. Things would get better when Jesus came into the world. Maybe not short term that they could see, but long term, yeah. Now it's possible to live with him forever in heaven, where there are no problems, where there are no difficulties, where you are in perfect happiness. That happened once Jesus came into the world and died on the cross. So that expectation that things will get better, that's what we want to hang on to during the Advent season. And they will get better. Again, no matter what's going on externally in your life, if you have a good relationship with Jesus, you can still find peace. All right, now look at this get ready message. So we have like kind of like a hope message in the first reading and the psalm, but now we're going to get to the get ready message. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Brothers and sisters, this is a great little pep talk for Advent. Paul writes, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Isn't that good? What a good pep talk. I can picture Coach St. Paul coaching his football team, right, prior to the start of Advent, coaching us. Now's the time. It's time for you to wake from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You know what? The second coming of Jesus and our judgment, whenever that's going to be, at the time of our death or at the second coming, that is one day closer today than it was yesterday. We are one day closer to judgment, okay, than we were yesterday, but we're also one day closer to the possibility of living forever in heaven, our salvation, one day closer than we were yesterday. It's hard to see because we tend to get attached to the things of this world, But we are one day closer to paradise today than we were yesterday. So time is ticking. You know, the days are passing. Let's make the most of today. Because right now, you're listening to me, I'm speaking, we're both alive. That could change. But right now, it is not too late. You know, sometimes we get upset about wasting Advents in the past. I know I wasted a lot of them. Don't let that weigh you down. You're alive now. Let's make this Advent the best one we've ever had. And I'm hoping we can work together. Again, through my daily email reflections, through the book Find Peace in Advent, through our weekly visits on this show, let's work together to make this the best Advent ever. You know what? You're in my prayers. I pray for you every day. You are not walking alone. And I'm so honored to be able to walk with you on this journey through this life. Please pray for me if you could, too. Let's pray for one another. All right? Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address if you need anything. If you'd like to donate to my ministry, that would be very helpful. You can do that at followingthetruth.com. But just know that it's a blessing to be with you. I'm really confident that if we put the work in, we are going to have a fantastic Advent. You know the Lord's going to come through. It's not a matter of wondering, is he going to come through? He's going to come through. It's a matter of wondering, are we going to come through? Are we going to do the work? Are we going to slack off? Let's not do that. Let's do our best, right? And, you know, we can certainly put in 5-10 minutes of prayer a day. In addition to doing all of our other responsibility, we can find the time. We always manage to find time for things we want to do. Let's do this. And I promise you, you will be rewarded if you make the effort to encounter Jesus. So again, I'm praying for you, and I look forward to joining you next week on the show for the second week of Advent. See, there's only four. There's only four Sundays of Advent. So let's make the most of each day. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless you, and God willing, I look forward to joining you again next week on the program. Bye-bye now.